Well, let's get out our year verse, Acts 4:31. And let's say it together this morning a couple of times. And then we'll see if one or two of you are ready to say it today. By the way, last Sunday we prayed, and by the way, Betty, it's good to see you today. Been praying for you, Betty. Last Sunday we prayed for Beth, remember, and Terrell. Well, Beth had to have surgery last Sunday, and that went well. And so when I got up there Sunday afternoon, this was after the surgery, guess what she wanted to do? She wanted to say the year verse to me. And I said, Beth, you, no one said it at church today, so you would have been the only one to say it. And this was after surgery. She was still groggy, and she nailed it. I mean, she absolutely nailed it. I was so impressed. So let's say it together a few times, and then we'll give you an opportunity to do it. Here we go. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:31. All right, one more time. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:31. All right. Who's going to say it? Who's got it? All right, Dale.
I might preface this with a little explanation. I might write memory verses on index cards, then I take them with myself wherever I go when I have a few moments. But I've been sleeping with it underneath my pillow. And I'm very insomnia. I don't sleep well. I am all up and down. And so in the dark, I've been seeing Sam's memory verse. And so my husband said, Dale, I'll have you get it right today because I'm tired of being woke up.
Yeah.
Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, the place they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They continued to preach God's word with boldness.
There you go. Good job. Good job. All right. Anyone else today? Yes. Henry. Good job. I knew one of you two guys would have it this week. I knew it. Anyone else? One more today. Anyone else? Earlene? All right.
Acts 4:31. And as they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:31.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Well, I want to invite you this morning to open your Bibles with me to Acts 4 in verse 31. And this will, Lord willing, you never know how the Lord works or moves, but the plan is for this to be the last Sunday that we kind of focus on the year verse with the message, and the plan is for next Sunday to jump back in the book of Proverbs. So we stop before Christmas, going through the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, and what we did was the first 9 chapters, if you'll remember, were sayings, extended sayings, and then after chapter 9, you actually get into the individual Proverbs, the 1 or 2 verse Proverbs. And so what we'll do for the next 8 weeks or so is we'll discuss or look at different topics in the Proverbs. And so we'll cover what the Proverbs has to say about the tongue. Yeah. And so we'll look at it as a whole, and we'll look at about eight or nine different subjects or topics that the book of Proverbs covers. And so, Lord willing, we'll jump into that next week. So this morning, what I'd like to do is just to focus on a couple of areas that we see in Acts of what happens when the church prays together. So how does the Holy Spirit move? How does God work? What are some of the ways in which the Lord moves when we as the church pray together? In Acts chapter 4, our year verse says, "And when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." And then if you look at the very next verse, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So I just want to focus on two things today of how we see the Holy Spirit work. We see how God works when his people pray together. And here's the first thing that I see in the text is that when God's people pray together, God will bring us together with one another. God will bring a unity and a oneness of heart, a oneness of spirit, a oneness of mind like we've never experienced before. You know, you've heard things, sayings like, "The family that prays together stays together." Well, there's some truth to that. When you pray together, the Holy Spirit has a way of bringing a oneness, a unity of spirit. And what is he uniting us around? Well, he's not uniting us around the person of Jesus Christ. When you look at those of us who are here today, we all have different backgrounds, different upbringings, come from different places, have had different experiences, but we're all here together. Now, why are we all here together today? There's only one reason. It's because of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who brings us together. And, of course, this is just a snapshot of what heaven's going to be like. Because in heaven, we're all going to be together. All God's people are going to be together. And the Bible says that that togetherness will be such a broad togetherness, such a tremendous variety. The Bible describes it like this: people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation will be together in God's new heaven and God's new earth. We'll be together with Abraham. We'll be together with Noah. We'll be together with Rahab. We'll be together with all the saints of old. We'll be together with all those New Testament believers that we read of. We'll be together with all God's people. We'll be together with the believers that are in North Korea, South Korea. We'll be together with the believers in Iran. And by the way, you know, there's a lot of things going on with Iran and a lot of things going on with our country and Iran and the leadership. But what you may not know is that Jesus Christ is doing a mighty work in Iran. And that many of the Iranians are coming to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, when God begins to move, God, nothing is too hard for God, right? You know, if you're reading through the Bible, in Genesis, if you're in our plan, in Genesis, I think it's chapter 17, where the Lord comes and he visits Abraham and he tells Abraham, he says, this time next year, I'm going to visit you and you and Sarah are going to have a son. Abraham's 99 years old. Sarah will be 90 when she has this baby. And the scripture says, Sarah, which we probably would all, she was listening in. She was on the other side of the tent, but she heard every word that was being said, being spoken. And the Bible says that when the Lord told Abraham that this time next year he was going to visit him and he would have a son, the Bible says, Sarah, what does she do? She laughed. How many of you women would have laughed? She laughed. And the Lord said, why are you laughing? Oh, I didn't laugh. No, that wasn't me. Yeah, you laughed. And you know what the Lord says in response to Sarah? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? So you think about the Iranian people. And you think about a nation that supposedly is closed off from the gospel. You think about a nation where missionaries are not allowed to go in. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Right now, God is doing a mighty work and people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And God is revealing himself in their dreams. Jesus is revealing himself to them in their dreams. So they may not have a church on every corner like we do, but that doesn't keep God from doing a mighty work. We have brothers and sisters in Iran that one day we'll all be joined together with. It is near and dear to the heart of God that his people be one. In John 17, which is the high priestly prayer of Jesus, and we've read this scripture before, and so as Jesus, his last few hours before he is arrested, the last few hours before he will be taken captive, before he will go to the cross, he's praying. And you know that what is near and dear to a person's heart, you hear that right before they leave this world. And so what is near and dear to the heart of Jesus? It's that we would be one. That his church would be one. And he prays in John 17, 20, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's you and me. That they may all be one. Jesus is praying that we will be one. That they will all be one. And notice the kind of oneness that he desires for us to have. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. What do we see happening in Acts 4 as the church prays together? As the church prays together, the very next verse says, now the full number of those who believed were of what? Say that with me. They were of one heart and soul. They were of one heart and soul. Here's what God says to Suburban Christian Church. If you will, as a church, pray together. and devote yourselves to prayer, what will happen is my spirit will come, and under the lordship of Jesus Christ, I will unite you and give you one heart and one spirit. And it won't be, well, this is mine. It will be, no, it's not all about me or mine or what I want. It will be, our attitude will be, what does Jesus want us to do? What does Jesus want us to do? What will honor and glorify Jesus? And so my attitudes or my desires or my wants will be moved off of the top shelf and what Jesus wants and his desire. He will bring a unity. He will bring a oneness. The divisions, the things that have a tendency to kind of be a wedge and to drive us apart, those things the Lord will remove and the Lord will bring together a oneness and a unity. And let me just also say, not only will that happen in the church, but that will happen in our homes if we start praying together. That will happen in our homes. One of the most powerful things that you can do with your family is pray together as a family. Husbands and wives praying together. And as you pray together, it has a way, the Spirit of God has a way of knitting your heart together with one another. So, number one, when we pray together, God will bring us together with Him and with one another like never before. And one other area that I want us to look at today, when we pray together, not only will God bring us together with Him and with one another like never before, God will take us places with Him that we've never been before. When we pray together, God will take us places with Him that we have never been before. I want you to look at Acts chapter 10. Turn to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, we see Peter praying, and we see Cornelius praying. Cornelius is a Gentile. In verse 1, it says, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, Roman soldier, Roman officer, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. So here's a military man. He's a God-fearing man. He's a man who's seeking the Lord. He's a man who is praying to God. He says in verse 2, he's a devout man who feared God with all his household and gave generously to the people and prayed continually to God. Prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, about 3 o'clock, he saw clearly in a vision. This is what God is doing in Iran. He saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to do what? To pray. And as he's praying, he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while he was preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by the four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, were knocking at the door. They were at the gate. And they called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you're looking for. What is your reason for coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he went with them. And so as Peter is pondering this vision with all these animals that Jews were not supposed to eat, and God says, "Peter, I want you to rise and kill and eat." "No, Lord, I can't." And as he's thinking about that, here are these Gentiles who are at his door. And they said, "Peter, would you come with us?" And the next day, Peter goes with them and he comes to Cornelius and he enters into the house of this Gentile, which he wasn't supposed to do. And what does he do? He realizes that God has sent him there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with Cornelius, his family, and his friends. And the scripture says that Cornelius, his family, his friends, and all who were there received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now listen, this was a place that Peter never thought he would go. Peter never could have imagined himself entering into a Gentile's house, surrounded by Gentiles in that house, eating with Gentiles, and sharing the gospel with Gentiles. But when we seek the Lord in prayer, and as we pursue God, here's what will happen. God will work in our lives. And God will take us places with him that we've never been before. You know what will happen when we pray together? God will start to change us. How many of you like change? Nobody raised their hands. Change is hard, isn't it? Change is hard. But change is necessary. Change is necessary. It was necessary for Peter to change. It was necessary for God to change Peter's heart. It was necessary for God to take Peter places that he'd never been before. And it was in the context of reading and worshiping and pursuing and praying that God moved upon Peter's heart and changed him and took him to a place that he'd never been before. A place that he would have never imagined himself going. That was a major threshold. Can you imagine that threshold, crossing over that threshold into that Gentile home, how massive that was? He could have never imagined himself doing that. What a huge barrier. This morning, I believe that there are places that we can't even imagine ourselves being that God wants us to go. And when we pray, God will work in our hearts. When we pray, you know what happens? When we pray, God changes us. That's what happens. God changes our hearts. I believe that in speaking to some of our men here at the church, when we pray, you know what God will begin to do in the lives of you men? God will take you places in your relationship with Him that you've never been before. Maybe right now you can't imagine being a husband who is tender-hearted and compassionate and considerate. Maybe it's hard for you to visualize yourself being the kind of husband who considers the needs of your spouse, of your wife, before your own. Maybe you can't visualize yourself having patience and kindness. But here's what God says. God says that if you will pray and if you will seek my face, that I will take you places with me. I will bring about a compassion and a kindness and a tenderness that you never thought imaginable. God can do that. Maybe today, men, you think about your friends. The friends that you have at work, your co-workers, or maybe neighbors, or maybe friends that you hang out with. And maybe you can't imagine being at a place where you unashamedly share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or maybe there's a neighbor that you've been developing a friendship with and a relationship with, and maybe you can't imagine yourself being at a place where you would openly talk to them about Jesus. Maybe that's a threshold or a barrier that you could never see yourself stepping over. Well, here's what God says. God says that when you seek me in prayer and when you as a church pray together, I will move upon your heart and I will change you. And I will take you places that you've never been before. How about you seniors? Not in high school, but senior citizens. It's so easy, and this is not just true of seniors, this is true for all of us. It's so easy to get just kind of locked in to our own comfortable routine and really not want to change and move out of our comfort zone. Listen, Abraham, again, in our Bible reading, do you know how old Abraham was when he was circumcised? He was 99 years old. 99 years old. God was saying to Abraham, I'm going to enter into a covenant with you, a covenant relationship, and this is the sign of the covenant. You're going to be circumcised. Your whole family is going to be circumcised. Everyone in your household. In other words, God was saying to Abraham, as Abraham sought the Lord and trusted in the Lord and followed the Lord, He already called Abraham away from his home to a place that he'd never been before. And now God says, at 99 years of age, Abraham, I want you to be circumcised. Lord, I'm 99. Scripture doesn't say that. It says he obeyed. He followed the Lord. At 99 years of age, God is taking Abraham places with him that he'd never been before. So here's what I just want to say to our seniors here. And I'm not going to put an age on seniors. If we will pray, God will take us places with him we've never been before. We would have never imagined a year ago this opportunity in our own community of taking the gospel to Woodstock Elementary to those children. And those of you who are involved in that ministry would have probably never seen yourself in that capacity, working with children, elementary age. Oh, I don't have the energy to do that anymore. You don't understand. All I can say is the more you pursue God, the more you pray, the more God will continue to use you. And, you know, you've heard me talk about the quarters of our life. I'm like, so there's like the first half and then there's halftime. I'm definitely in the second half of my life. You know, halftime's over. I'm in the second half. And here's one thought that just the Lord has been putting in my heart lately. God, when I stand before you, I don't want to have regrets of, I wish I would have done that. And so I can just say, the Lord in my life is taking me places right now I've never been before. And helping me to make decisions that I thought I would not be making, I would never make. And so one thing about that is it keeps life exciting. And, you know, whatever God does, when God does a work, it's never easy. God doesn't do easy. It's never easy. God doesn't, you know, Abraham was like, okay, you promised that you're gonna bless me and you're gonna make me the father of many nations. Well, you know, Sarah, she can't have children anymore. So, you know, through Hagar. And so Abraham figured it was Ishmael. Please, Lord, let it be Ishmael. And God said, no, that's your doing. That's too easy. That's too easy. When God works, he works in such a way to where there's no doubt that it was his doing. So he gets all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And the Lord wants to take us, I believe, he wants to take Suburban Christian Church. He wants to take us. He wants to take you and your family. He wants to move us places with him we've never been before. And he will do that when we pray. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, as we come before you, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you and praise you today for your presence that's been here with us. Lord, I pray that you will, as we pray together, God, that you will bring a unity and a oneness in Christ Jesus that we've never experienced before. Lord, where there will be a genuine love and compassion for one another, I pray that you would bring that kind of oneness, Lord, to our marriages and our families. And Lord, I just ask that you would move in our families, and God, that in our families we would start to pray together. And Lord, maybe that's new territory. Maybe that's a place some families have never been before. And so I just pray that you'll help our men today to say, Lord, you know, I want to go here. Help me to go there. And Lord, I pray that you will just continue to move us out of our comfort zone and continue to move us to new territories with you, new places of obedience, new places of faith. Lord, we pray that you will take us as a church, that you will take us, Lord, to areas and places of service that we've never been before. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you've put before us. Help us to be faithful in those. And Lord, if there are some today that just need to come and pray at this altar, and maybe right now there are some that you're speaking to, and God, you, they sense that you are taking them and moving them in a new direction, in a new territory, in a new place with you. And Lord, maybe they're scared and maybe they're afraid. And Lord, we all get that. We all experience that. I pray, God, that you will just come and help them today. Let them feel your presence. And so, Lord, be honored and glorified now in this time of dedication and invitation and seeking you. And we just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.